Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at a blog post from last year called The Artificial Otter.
Oh yeah, this one was really interesting.
It was written by John Rust, and
it starts off with this crazy story about him as a kid.
Right. It's a childhood memory, but it really gets you thinking about some pretty deep stuff.
Yeah, I mean, truth, belief, even AI.
It's all in there. So basically, Rust tells this story about seeing an otter when he was young.
He was in the English countryside by a river.
Right, and he was convinced he saw this rare otter.
I mean, totally convinced. He tells everyone.
And it's not long before.
The whole village is caught up in it.
Pretty much. They launched this whole otter hunt, people coming from all over.
All because of this otter that
never existed.
Yeah, like it was all in his imagination. And that's where it starts to get interesting, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because he takes this simple story and he uses it to ask some really big questions.
He even includes this picture generated by Dolly.
Oh, yeah, the AI image thing.
Exactly. And the prompt for that image was created by GPT-4, you know, based on Rust's description of the scene.
So we've got this image of, like, the otter hunt, all set against this idyllic English countryside.
And it's kind of funny, right? Because it's an AI creating an image of something that never even existed in the first place.
It's like, how much of what we see and believe is actually real?
Right.
And that's kind of what Rust is getting at, I think.
He poses this question, what is truth? He even quotes Francis Bacon.
That's a deep cut.
But it's more than just a philosophical musing, you know?
Yeah.
He's using it to launch into this whole discussion about how hard it is to separate what we truly know from what we just believe.
Even when those beliefs might be flat out wrong.
Yeah. It's like we all have those moments where we're totally sure of something and then...
Boom. Turns out you were way off base.
Exactly. And Rust's point is we tend to think our own beliefs are true, obviously. Otherwise, why would we believe them?
Right. Makes sense.
But then we turn around and we assume everyone else's beliefs are probably false.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see where he's going with this. Like, we all have a little bit of that I'm right and you're wrong kind of thinking.
Exactly. And it leads to this, well, maybe uncomfortable question. What if a good chunk of what we believe is actually false?
He even throws out a number.
Yeah.
80%.
Yeah. Like, whoa, that's a lot to think about.
I will say, he's got a good sense of humor about it all.
Oh, absolutely.
You can tell he's not taking himself too seriously.
He's kind of poking fun at himself, like, hey, I might be wrong about a lot of things too, just like those AI systems that sometimes spit out crazy stuff.
Right. Because those AI hallucinations, those aren't always just glitches.
They can be a reflection of our own, you know, messy way of thinking.
It's a pretty mind-blowing idea when you think about it.
It is.
So tell me more about how these LLMs actually work. What's the process that leads to these so-called hallucinations?
It's like, imagine you're teaching a kid about the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Showing them pictures and videos and books, millions of them.
Okay, I'm following.
That's kind of what we do with these LLMs.
We overload them with information.
Basically. We feed them tons and tons of data, and they learn to recognize patterns.
So they're like absorbing all this knowledge.
Yeah, but the thing is, the data is not always perfect, you know? It reflects all the weird stuff about human knowledge, all our inconsistencies.
And our biases too, probably.
Oh yeah, definitely. All that gets baked in.
Okay, but how does that lead to these hallucinations?
I'm
still not quite getting that part.
All right, so think of it this way. An LLM, it might learn that certain words go together, right? Based on how often they appear together in the data.
Like otter and river, maybe.
Exactly. Or fur or playful.
Makes sense.
But what happens when it encounters something like less common or more nuanced?
That's when it has to improvise.
You could say that.
It's like it's making its best guess based on what it knows.
Exactly. Even if that guess ends up being a little off.
So it's not that the AI is trying to trick us or anything?
No, not at all. It's just it's working with what it's got.
And sometimes what it's got is a little wonky.
That's a good way to put it. And, you know, to really explore this, Rust does this really cool thing in the blog post.
What's that?
He actually asks GPT-4, you know, one of these LLMs, to analyze his otter story from two different perspectives.
Oh, this is the part where it gets all artsy, right?
Kind of. So first, he asks GPT-4 to act like an artist.
Okay, so how did it do? Did it, like, try to paint a picture with words?
It did. It took Rust's memory and it turned it into this super vivid scene. Like, it talked about the river and the excitement of the hunt.
And the otter itself, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, all of it. And it didn't just stick to the physical details either. It talked about, like, the emotions involved.
Wow, so it really got into the artist role.
It really did. Even touched on themes of belief and imagination and all that.
Pretty impressive.
It was. But then He asks GPT-4 to switch gears and be a philosopher.
Okay, now that's got to be a tough transition.
You'd think so, right? But GPT-4, it just rolls with it.
Really?
Yeah. And it delivers this, like, surprisingly sharp critique of Rust's whole argument.
No way. So it's not just playing along, it's actually pushing back.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's saying, hold on a minute, let's think this through.
So what kind of critique did it give?
Well, for one thing, it took issue with that 80% figure Rust threw out there, you know?
Yeah.
About how much of what we believe is false.
Oh, right, right.
It pointed out that that number was just kind of arbitrary, like there's no real evidence to back it up.
That's a fair point. It was a thought-provoking idea, but yeah, not exactly scientific.
Exactly. And GPT-4 didn't stop there.
Uh-oh.
It went on to call out Rust for not considering, what are they called? Cognitive biases?
Oh yeah, those mental shortcuts we all use.
Right, like confirmation bias.
That's the one where you only see what you want to see.
Yeah, pretty much. So GPT-4 is basically pointing out that Rust's whole argument, it's a little oversimplified.
Like he's not considering all the ways our own brains can mess with us.
Exactly.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It sounds like GPT-4 is really challenging Rust to think deeper about all this. But did it offer any of its own insights? Or was it mostly focused on, like, poking holes in his logic? It was pretty impressive to see, you know, an AI getting all philosophical.
It was. But yeah, it was more than just a critique.
Okay, good. I was hoping it would offer something, like some new perspective.
It definitely did. One of the things it pointed out was this, like, fundamental difference between how humans and AI think.
Hmm. Okay. That sounds interesting.
Like, we as humans, we actually believe things, right? Hmm. But AI systems,
they don't.
No, they don't believe things in the same way.
So even though GPT-4 can, you know, analyze this whole argument about truth and belief,
it doesn't actually hold beliefs itself.
Whoa, that's trippy.
Right. It's just processing information, generating language based on patterns.
But it's doing it so well that it almost seems like it's thinking.
It's really impressive, but it's a good reminder that AI, it's still operating on a different level than us.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So what else did GPT-4 have to say? It sounds like it wasn't done with us yet.
It wasn't. This is where it gets really interesting, actually. GPT-4 pointed out that Rust's blog post, you know, for all its cleverness,
yeah,
it didn't really engage with all the, like, existing philosophy on truth and belief and knowledge.
So it was calling him out for not doing his homework, basically.
In a way, yeah, but it's not being mean-spirited or anything. It's more like, hey, there's this whole rich history of thought here, you know?
Like, go read a book.
Pretty much. And I thought that was amazing.
I can see why.
Because it shows how AI can not only process what's there, but also recognize what's missing.
And encourage us to dig deeper.
Exactly. Now, you might think Rust would be, like, offended by all this, you know, getting schooled by an AI.
Yeah, I'd probably be a little embarrassed.
But his reaction in the blog post, it's actually great. He's totally delighted.
Okay.
Yeah. He even jokes about being, like, put in his place by GPT-4.
He sounds like a good sport.
He does. It shows a real willingness to, like, learn and be challenged, even by an AI.
That's a great attitude to have. So, okay, we've got this playful blog post about an otter that wasn't even real, and somehow we've ended up talking about, like, the nature of truth and the future of AI.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. What's the big takeaway for you? What should our listeners be thinking about after all this?
I think the key thing to remember is that AI, it's not just about, like, building tools or automating tasks.
It's something bigger.
It is. It has the potential to be, like, a partner in our search for knowledge.
And it can challenge us, make us think in new ways.
Definitely. It can push us to be more critical, more aware of our own biases.
And it makes you wonder, you know, if AI can already do all this, what's next? Like, are we really going to create machines that think and feel like humans?
That's the big question, isn't it? And I don't think anyone has the answer right now.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but also really exciting.
Absolutely. And it's something we all need to be talking about, you know, as we keep developing these technologies.
For sure. Well, I think John Rust and GPT-4 have given us a lot to chew on today. So if you're interested in learning more, I encourage you to do some research, read more about AI, maybe even dive into some philosophy.
It's a fascinating topic.
It really is. And remember, the future of AI, it's not just something that's happening to us. It's something we're all creating together.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you all next time for another deep dive.